Direct your attention this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 9. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. Well, may God bless his word to us. This is the word of God. And we look to him this morning to speak to our never-dying souls. If you have your Bibles open there, please, at Proverbs chapter 6. I want this morning to consider the great sin of laziness. Laziness. Well, what is laziness? Well, the word sometimes used in the Bible is slothful. Here is referred to as the sluggard. Somebody that's sluggish, is lazy, somebody who's idle. Well, we'll ask the question this morning, and I trust we'll deal with it. Why is laziness a sin? Why is it a sin? How do we overcome laziness? What if we don't overcome laziness? What happens if we don't overcome laziness? Is there a consequence in this life and in the life to come? And what does laziness tell about the condition of a person's heart? Somebody that is perpetually, continuously lazy. What does that tell us about the eternal state of that person? Well, it's very important, isn't it? One of the elements or one of the factors of spiritual backsliding is to become lazy. Christians can become lazy. But what if it is the general tenor of somebody's life? In all reality, it is probably the case that they do not know the Lord, that they are not saved. You see, the Christian is an overcomer of his sin, because by the Spirit of God, he can. He has the Helper. Remember, Jesus said, "And I will send the Helper." The Spirit of God strives within a man to overcome his sin. Now, laziness is a most serious, serious sin, because it is a sin that speaks about the condition of somebody's heart. Somebody says, "Well, I'm just a lazy person." Well, no, you're an unthoughtful person. You're an unkind person. You're a selfish person if you're lazy. A lot of people just excuse their laziness. They say, "I'm just lazy." But they're selfish. You think about a lazy parent. Well, they're just selfish. Selfish. So, let's call sin, sin. I'll not play any games here this morning with this whole subject of laziness. There's five things I want us to consider this morning. The sin of laziness. Why is it a sin? Secondly, the chief causes of laziness. And then thirdly, the chief traits of laziness, or somebody that is lazy. And then fourth, the only cure for laziness. And then fifthly, the eternal destiny that God has determined for the person that is perpetually, continuously lazy. The eternal destiny for somebody that is. Because when somebody is changed by the grace of God, they are changed forever. We may as Christians go into times of laziness. We may backslide. But we will come out of it again, and we will not be described as a lazy person. So let us understand what the Word of God has to say concerning these things. So firstly, the sin of laziness. We need to understand that laziness, friends, is a sin not only against fellow men, but ultimately against God. It is ultimately against the living God, the true, the only God. Consider for a moment, God has by design purposed work into every man's life, into the natural order of creation. You and I have to go to work. We have to do something in order to earn a living, to plow the fields, or maybe to milk the cow. We don't have any farmers here, but there are various types of work. God has created these things into the natural order of not only creation, but if you were to look at the cosmos, if the planet stopped turning around, what would be of this earth? It would just be sunshine all day. That would kill everything. The earth is constantly moving around. The planets are continuously moving around in their orbit. Animals are constantly feeding their young. You've only got to look at the natural order of creation itself. And when a human being does nothing, he goes against God's natural order of creation. And so, friends, these things speak to us. Just look at God's created order. God himself is always ordering. The Bible says he sustains all things. God is constantly at work. God is, yes, he's all powerful, but he is constantly at work. At work. Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede, to pray for his people. He's constantly pleading at the Father's right hand for his people. You and I, friends, are also made in the image of our God, and therefore we are to reflect him. God has given us minds with the capacity to think, to love, and to care. And when we neglect that, we deface the glory of the image of God in us. Ephesians 2:10, as I read at the outset, says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is what God has purposed for the person that is now a new creation. If you're a Christian, God has given you a new heart, a new mind, to love him, to do good to fellow creatures. Remember what Jesus said when he answered the Pharisees? They said, tell us what the chief commandment is. And he said, well, it's this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. It requires work, friends. You cannot love somebody without doing. It's a fallacy, isn't it, to say, I love you, and yet don't meet those needs. So you can see very easily and quickly how laziness is a great, great sin. The Bible teaches that even before the fall, Adam and Eve were given this responsibility to till the ground. Before sin came into the world, it was a labor of joy and delight that could reflect the glory of God. Adam had to name all of the creatures. What a task that must have been. Think of the immensity of it. But Adam had a tremendous mind, and all of that was a joy and a delight for Adam. So rather than looking at work as it were a curse from God, you and I need to understand that it was a glorious part of God's will for man's life. If you turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, I want you to see something very, very important there. You know the Ten Commandments fairly well, but so often what is neglected when we think of the Lord's Day, the day of rest, Sabbath, which really means rest, part of the command in Exodus 20, verse 9, is 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. That's a commandment. God commands us to work for 6 days. Now, that is not always going to be a work in a job place, but it might be work in the home, it might be your chores. But God says, I want one day set apart for me, where you may rest, reflect upon your God, you may worship him in a special way that you can come away from the world. But 6 days you must labor. That's God's commandment to us. And it's not a curse. Work is not a curse. It's part of the command that we work. Now think of the benefits of work, the joy of a job well done. You ever done a job and you think, I'm really glad I did that. Worthwhile work. You can sit back and you can appreciate it. Maybe your studies even. You say, well, it was worth studying that. And it was a benefit. And think of how I can benefit others, let alone myself. I'm benefited by this work. Now think of what it would be like to not have work. In the old days, part of punishing a criminal was putting him in a prison cell where he could do nothing. And he was left to twiddle his thumbs all day. That's punishment. You speak to those criminals, what they want to do is, could you give me something to do? Could you give me a book to read? Could you give me something? We are not made to do nothing. But sin has that effect. You see, it's not that the lazy person doesn't want anything. Of course, he wants everything. But he wants everything given to him on a silver plate. Now, just imagine for a moment, if God were to stop his mighty works of ordering this universe, there would be no life, would there? There'd be nothing for us to enjoy. But you see, Satan is now at work in the world. The Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. And he is at work in society today. And he is seeking to destroy God's 6-day cycle of work so that we don't rest in him. So that we don't glorify our God. So friends, work is important. And you can see why laziness is a very serious sin. Because it goes against the God of order. Now Jesus Christ went about always doing good. And Jesus Christ himself condemned laziness as sin. God in the flesh condemned laziness as a sin. Laziness, as I said earlier, has to do with the attitude of your heart. So don't say, well, it's just a habit. No, it's a condition of your heart. If you are lazy, it is a condition of your heart. It is a sinful condition of your heart. You see, for the Christian, everything is spiritual. The way he reads his Bible is diligent. It's not in a slothful way. Everything is now spiritual. He's diligent about everything. He's diligent about his giving, about his care, about his love. He's diligent. So let's not just limit this to the sphere of work in the workplace, because it's not. This laziness has far more to do with just work in the workplace, but everything about you. You see, it can reflect how the way you govern your family life, by your relationships, by the way you read this Bible, by the way that you obey what this Bible has to say. That's work. That's diligence. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. Christians must war against laziness, slothfulness. Now you may say, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm a diligent person. I go to work, I do all my jobs, I do what I have to do, but I'm not a Christian. I work hard, I earn a living, I provide for my family, all those things. But my friends, the Bible says, the labor, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 21:4. What does God mean by that? Well, it's as simple as this. The unconverted heart, the unconverted person lives to himself. He might be diligent, but everything he does is for himself. It's not to honor God. It's not to glorify God. That person might be diligent in the workplace, and he might be a workaholic like many women and men are. They workaholics, but you get them in the home. They could care less how much time they spend with their children. You've got to be diligent in the home as well as in the workplace. It's diligence in all things, not just the workplace, you see. The Christian employs this aspect of diligence throughout all the spheres of his life because he understands his living before God. It's God that sees him. The unconverted man, yes, he works hard to get a good living so that he can take ease, so that he can fill his barns and say, take ease, my soul. But God says to him, you fool, your soul is required of you. Oh, he's been diligent, but he's not been diligent toward God. God says a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So you may be laboring well at your workplace, even at your family, but you have not labored for the things of God. You've not sought him with your heart. Let's come back to the subject now of laziness. Laziness is described throughout the Bible. It's addressed 33 times in the book of Proverbs. It's found in the book of Judges. It's found in Ecclesiastes. It's found in the Psalms. It's found almost throughout the New Testament. Laziness is condemned by God. This is not a good thing. Christians, we know this, we understand this. Christians are not saved by their works. But their works reveal that they are saved. Does that make sense? If God has truly changed your heart, you will be a diligent person. You will not be a lazy person. So don't put laziness down to, well, my father was lazy, my grandfather was... No! What God says to us is this is something we must avoid, because it is surely a condition of the heart. God tells us we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And slothfulness violates God's purpose for good works in our lives. God has procured for Himself a people zealous for good works. Titus 2 and verse 14. Laziness. It's not only a sin against God, but it's a sin against other people. Think, as we've already thought this morning, if you don't provide for your family, you are depriving them of something. Firstly, you're depriving them of a good example, if you're a parent. You are teaching them to be just like you. They will watch you, and they will be just like you, and who can blame them, really? I mean, they will be answerable, but they will follow you if you are lazy. Well, are you teaching your children to be diligent? That's not just in the workplace, but thoughtful. You see, being thoughtful is diligent. Being kind is diligent. Being loving is diligent. Are you teaching your children to think? You know, as parents, we ought to be saying to our children, what does God think of that? Deal with their conscience. You will change a child's behavior if you can get him to change the way he thinks. What does God think about your language? What is, and hopefully nobody here has bad language, but what does God think of your activity? What does He think about your selfishness? And you see, if you're carrying out the same things as those selfish children, you will have no room to say those things, will you? You say, yes, well, mommy, daddy is exactly the same, and I better change. So we must deal with their minds, deal with their conscience. And we need to teach them, friends, to be diligent with their time. You and I are going to have to answer for our time at the end of time. We will. God will, as we're told at the end of Ecclesiastes, will bring every work into judgment. And the way you teach your children, doesn't matter how old they are, they might be grown up, you will be responsible. Are you diligent? Your children never leave home, even though they've left home. They're still part of your life. They're still connected to you. You still have a sphere of influence on all of them. Are you diligent not only to your family, but to other people? How are you affecting the lives of others? You know, many have been taught to work hard at work, but have been absolute pigs at home. We must be diligent in every sphere of our lives. Sadly, parents make excuses for their children. Do we do that? Well, he's or she's lazy because of this or that. We must never lie. Because if you do that, you see, you'll teach your son, your daughter to lie as well about their children when they're older. Don't lie. Let us be sincere before the Lord. Just imagine if everybody was like them, just like you maybe. What kind of a world would this be if everybody was like you? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? What would the world be like if everybody was like you? If everybody was like me? What kind of a world would this be? What kind of a society would we be? What are we putting into not only the church but society? What are you pumping into society? Are you draining everything out of society? You see, a Christian puts into people's lives. He doesn't drain out. And that's the difference. A diligent man is like God, who is constantly working, constantly seeking the good for others. Is that your life? Well, when Christ saves a man, He changes a man. He changes him not only to think for himself, but to think about others. A man once said, if you study history, you will find that the men that did the most in this life were precisely the men that thought about the life to come. And that is true. If you want to change the way you live, change this vertical relationship with God. How are you living before God? And then your life will change. There are many people, and many children are taught, you know, well, just go to work. And you know, the company owes you something. The company owes you nothing. The company owes you only the work that you have put in. And let us remember that. Let's teach our children that. I want us, secondly, this morning to consider the chief causes of laziness. One of the foundational underlying reasons why a man is lazy is because, as I've just alluded to, there is no vertical or little relationship with God. He doesn't care about what God thinks. It's all about me, what I can get. That's how the lazy man thinks. There's no fear of God before his eyes. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. Why are the wicked the way they are? Because they don't fear God. The wicked man does not fear God. You know that parable, Matthew 25, where Jesus speaks of the talents. One man has 5 talents. The other man has 2 talents. And the one man has 1 talent. Matthew 25, verse 14. Jesus describes what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he describes the saved and the unsaved. The man will not lose his salvation, friends. He cannot lose his salvation. But the wicked, the lazy, always acts in a certain way. He always does. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. When he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long while, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will take thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Here is this one man, he's taken this 1 talent and he's neatly folded it in his handkerchief, he's put it in the ground. He says, oh, Lord, I knew you were a wicked, hard taskmaster. The Lord says, if you knew that, you should have gone and done what is required of you. He's lazy, slothful, he's unconverted. There's the unconverted man. The unsaved man does not live before God. See, the Master is coming. This is what Jesus says. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God is going to require of your work. If you really believe in God, you will put to work what God has given you. He's given you a mind. He has given you time. He has given you an intellect. He has given you the capacity to serve him. How are you serving him? Jesus says of this man, he's unsaved. He was never one of my sheep. A man does not lose. When God changes somebody, he changes a man's heart. God saved us by grace through faith, and he's prepared for us good works that we might walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. My friend, as God has saved you, he has truly changed your heart. And it is God that puts his fear into men's hearts. Solomon said, "Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Paul reminds us in the New Testament, Colossians 3:22, he says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service." That's, I'll just do my job when the boss is around, so I look good when he's there, you know. And when he's not there, I'll just turn on the internet, listen to the radio, do the crossword puzzle. No, he says, no, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart. Now look, fearing God. The Christian truly fears God that he will have to answer for his time and the way that he lives. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and in trembling." My friends, the primary cause of laziness is a lack of fear for God. The Christian does fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. That's what Solomon says. It's not a fear of dread, but it's a fear of the Almighty God, who knows and sees all things that I do, who knows the thoughts of my heart, who knows every waking moment, who knows every hour that I sleep, that I slumber in my bed. That is the fear that the Christian has. The lazy person sleeps too much. Proverbs 6:9, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Oh yes, the lazy person sleeps too much. And you know one of the problems? The more sleep you get, the more tired you get. You need a certain amount of sleep, that's it. Sleep any longer, God has designed the body that you need X amount of sleep. Any more, you start getting tired. It's a fact. Speak to the doctors, they'll tell you. So don't sleep too much. Sleep is a blessing, but don't abuse it. Proverbs 26:14 says, "As the door turneth upon its hinges," imagine that door there turning on its hinges, "so does the sloth upon his bed." He's constantly moving around in his bed. Why is he moving around? He's awake, and he's constantly going back to sleep. If you're turning around in your bed and it's daylight, get out of bed. Don't be like the door that's constantly on the hinges. This is very practical, friends. Proverbs 19:4-5, "The house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." That's a wise wife. "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep." That's the contrast. "And an idle soul shall suffer hunger." If a man doesn't go to work, he's not going to have money. The Bible says, if a man not work, don't let him eat. Secondly, the lazy person spends too much time talking. Proverbs 14:23, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury," or poverty. The guy at work constantly talking, he's going to get fired. He's going to lose his job. When some are left with a job to do, they don't want to get the job done because they've wasted their time talking. Time's run out. Sometimes it's on the phone. You know, limit your conversations. Once the conversation has reached its intended goal, you've got something else to do. Don't waste your time. The lazy person, thirdly, avoids work. This is typical. I'm sure you've seen it. Especially helping others. If you look at Proverbs 26:15, "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." Verse 16, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Here's the picture. You give a lazy man a job to do, and you give him 5 reasons he's got to do the job. He'll give you 10 reasons why he shouldn't do it. He's always got a reason why he's not to do it. Always. He's lazy. Puts it off. Oh, here's another reason. Turn to Proverbs 20,
verse 4.
The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in the harvest and have nothing. You see, whilst everybody else is out there working in the hot and the cold, he said, oh, it's too cold. It's too cold for me. It's too hot. I'm too tired. I've got a sore throat. I've got a sore leg. He's always got an excuse. There will always be an excuse for this man. He's born to make excuses. He is taught to make excuses, and people have always made excuses for him. Don't make excuses for him. And do not let him make excuses. My friends, the Bible is so clear on this. We have to be disciplined, because the lazy man is the most undisciplined man on the earth. And he is an expert at making excuses. The lazy man, when he knows there's a problem, he keeps his hand, as one of the Proverbs says, keeps his hand in his coat. When the telephone rings, he knows, the pastor's phoning me. The pastor's phoning me and he wants a job done. I'm not going to answer the phone. Well, I know there's a problem. I'm going to avoid that meeting. They're going to ask me to do something. He's an expert at avoiding. Look at Proverbs 22:13. The lazy man says this, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there's a lion. There's a lion without. There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the streets. What a ridiculous statement. There's a lion in the streets. He'll make up any excuse to not do something. Oh, it could hail today. So I'm not going to... This could happen. Oh, that could happen. So he doesn't do it. You see, we've got to be careful. Are you making excuses? I don't know. The Lord knows your heart. He knows my heart. Do you make excuses for your inactivity in life? Or do you make excuses for people who you know are lazy and you're helping them to be lazy? You're just as guilty. Friends, if we love people, we want the best for them. You can't say you love your children if you're not prepared to discipline them and to teach them. You can't say you love your brother and your sister if you see them going in the sin and you don't gently and lovingly say, look, brother, I think there's a serious problem here. I'll show you something else. A wasteful man wastes what he has. Look at Proverbs 12:27. He wastes. Here's the idea. Here's a man, he's gone out hunting with his friend, but he's a bit lazy because he won't skin the animal to get the meat, right? And you've noticed this with lazy people. Everything anybody else has got is better than what they've got. Oh, well, let's have your food. Yeah, here's the idea. A slothful man, verse 27, Proverbs 12:27, a slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. In other words, he's killed something. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. You see? Oh, let's have yours. The animal I've just killed, let it die there and rot. Let's eat yours. You've skinned it, come on, let's have it. He just wastes what he's got. He wastes what he's acquired. And many people are like that. They don't take care of their things. They throw everything on the floor. They walk on everything in the house is a mess. People don't look after the things, but I'll have what you have. Oh, you've worked hard for it. I'll have it. And they walk in your house. You've worked hard all your life for everything that you've got. And you know what they say to you? You're a lucky man. You say, no, I'm not a lucky man. I went to college. I studied. And I spent years doing what I had to do to get a good job, to have what I have. I'm not a lucky man. That's the difference. And friends, we've got to call a spade, right? Here are the typical marks of a lazy person. Are you like that? Do you take care of the things God has given you? You know, I know some very poor people, and they are very good with their money. And you would think that they earn a lot of money, but they don't really. They take care of what they have. Laziness brings material poverty. By much slothfulness, Ecclesiastes 10:18, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. In other words, Solomon there in Ecclesiastes is picturing perhaps a house, and one of the roof tiles is missing, or there's a brick missing. and the rain's coming in. But slowly and slowly, what happens? The rain comes in, wet rot starts to set in the house, and eventually, because the man has not done something, he's put, I'll do it, it's only a tile, oh, it's only a brick, it's only this. And eventually what happens, the whole house falls down. And he can't do anything about it. He's full of excuses. Laziness. Don't ever think that the lazy man doesn't have any desires, because he does. Proverbs 21:24 says, he coveteth greedily all day long. Don't ever think that a lazy man doesn't want things. He does. The problem is he just doesn't want to work for it. He wants everybody to give it to him. Now, let's not be ashamed to be poor. There's some people that are poor, but they're good people, they're hardworking. But laziness itself brings shame. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Is there anything nice about it, having a son that causes you shame? Parents, are we raising our children to be shameful children? Who is proud of a lazy son? The lazy man is obnoxious. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. You know, a man who hires an employee who's lazy will always find him to be obnoxious. This man is constantly making excuses. It's painful to be around the guy. It's hard to continue to listen to this guy's excuses. You ever had somebody like that? A lazy person has to learn to be a good liar. Do you know that? Because they're constantly making excuses. Oh, this is the reason. Oh, that's the reason. And he knows it's a lie. And he's constantly being caught out. And so what happens? He has a hardened conscience. But my friends, let me tell you, Jesus says, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall have to give an account of in the day of judgment. A lazy person has to constantly make excuses. What is it to be diligent in the life? A diligent man is always watching. He's always waiting on the Lord. As a result of his diligence, he does good to others. His life is prosperous. The natural fruit of hard work is prosperity. The worker who produces more generally in the workplace is rewarded more, generally speaking. Doesn't always work out that way. But you remember this. Even though you're a hard worker and sometimes you are not rewarded, God will reward you one day, my friends. God will reward you. It's you do it before God. But you know, the best thing I find, the most rewarding thing about diligence, is a clear conscience. You can have gone to work, worked your heart out, and you can walk away with a clear conscience. Even though there has been hardly any productivity, because you have done your best. You've done your best before God, and you can go to bed and put your head on the pillow and say, God, you know I've done my best. You know I've poured my life into those people's lives. And you can sleep as sound as a baby. But you know the man that's constantly talking and stealing stuff and time from work? I don't know how he can sleep. Can you sleep? Sleep is another gift, you know. Work is a gift. It's good to work a good day, have a clear conscience, and lay your head upon your pillow with a clear conscience. It's not about money, but it's about before God. Do you fear God? Do you love Him? That's the other aspect. You see, the sluggard doesn't love God. The Christian lives diligently because he fears God and he loves God. He loves God. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. He says, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. Feed me with the food allotted or convenient for me. You see, that is true godliness. God, I just want to glorify you in my life. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. But Lord, I just want to live to your glory. My friends, that's diligence. And it's not just about the workplace, it's in your family life, it's in everything you do. Whatever you do, Paul says, do to the glory of God. This is why the ploughing of the wicked is evil. But the labour of the righteous, those that have been saved, do it for God. Somebody once said, there is only one life, it will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Jesus that will last. It's true. So, we have seen these things. Now, what is the only cure for laziness, fourthly? How do we overcome laziness? You say, well, I've got laziness. It's a habit. No, it's not a habit. I go back. It's not a habit. It's a sin. Your problem is your heart is not right with God. You don't care what God thinks. You don't care what other people think. You are the problem. What you need to do is repent. You need to confess your sin to God, and you need to say, God, I've sinned. I've been a selfish, thoughtless person. And I need to love you more. I need to love my neighbor better. I need to serve other people better. Confess your brazenness before God. Confess your unbelief. Maybe this reveals the very fact that you're not a believer. You don't fear God. You don't love Him. You don't fear Him. The only cure for laziness is a true sight of the Almighty God. That will wake a man up. If you see God and you believe that He's coming to judge one day. See, we're not saved by our works, but our works reveal whether we are saved. Are you born again? Are you a new creation? Are you living for yourself or you're living for God? That's the answer, friends. The only cure is a sight of God. Understand that you have a wicked heart. Understand how much you owe to God. You know, you owe Him the very breath that you have just breathed. You owe Him every ounce of food that you get. People have been so good to you, so kind to you, but what do you do in return? You carry on in your laziness, your slothfulness. God will judge you. Learn to number your days. Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, said, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But you know, Jesus said this is the most important thing. It's not about labor, is it? It's not just about work, but it's living before God. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to labor to know Him. Because without knowing Jesus Christ, you will never be cured of your laziness. The real diligence that you need today is to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And if you're a Christian that's been challenged with these things, I hope, I pray that I've exhorted you to seek the Lord and to rid of your laziness. Now, what is the destiny, lastly, that God has determined for the lazy? You say, really? Is God going to judge the lazy? Yes, well, He will, because the lazy person is not a converted person. He's not born again. If he has a life of continuing laziness, he's not changed. You see, when God saves somebody, He really, truly changes them. Not perfectly. Of course He does. Not perfectly. Because we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ. But when He saves somebody, He changes their attitudes. He changes their desires. He changes their motives. He changes their habits. He changes everything. Now you changed. Is the day you can look back on your life and say, God changed me. It may not have been a flash, but it was over time. You can look back over your life, over maybe a year, 6 months, and so on. You can say, yes, I am growing in the grace. If you look at a tree and it never grows, what do you say? Well, that tree must be dead. If it doesn't move, you say, well, it must be dead. If it's not producing fruit, you say, well, it must be dead. Well, the Christian has diligence in his life. Not perfect diligence, but diligence. So what is the destiny that God has determined for the lazy? We read there in Matthew 25, didn't we? of that wicked servant. He'd been given the one talent. Little to do in comparison to the other. Oh, little to do. One man had five talents. He had to invest those five talents. Another man had two. He put to work what he had. But the one man with the one talent says, "Oh, yeah, I'll go and put it in the ground. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow." It's always tomorrow for the lazy man, but tomorrow never rolls around. He's full of excuses. Jesus says this, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have," that's if you don't have eternal life, my friends, "even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, my friends, I hope this morning what I've said has urged you as a Christian to go on in your diligence. It's good. It's good to do good, isn't it? Our Lord went about doing good. And we can enjoy blessing the lives of other people. Oh, friends, it's better to give than to receive. Didn't Jesus say that? He said it's better to give than to receive. Do you know the joy of giving from a changed heart? Do you know the joy of giving? Well, we don't boast about it. But Jesus says even what you have, it's going to be taken away from you. Let us labor while it is day. Because who knows the power of his anger? Even according to thy fear, Lord, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And may God bless his word to us and keep us in the love of Christ. Amen.